thank you for your love. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the emphasis of your life. We bring them. We give you, O Lord, to receive revelation, to receive light, to receive understanding, but as well, for your good to minister to us, to make the world with us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You're welcome. You charge them. Are you on fire?
Yeah.
Ready to study? Oh, you guys are doing good. So I'm going to repeat. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. God meaning to do that with you next year, depending on how well it goes. And do something else. The Lord has been speaking to us. What the next thing that the Lord is doing for us, something is about. I think, perhaps next year, we'll start to do some book studies. I'm going to have book studies. Book studies are the best. I love book studies.
Yeah.
Because I can just come out with my Bible. Amen. You know, book studies, because in a book, you can have different subjects or subjects. So it's very, very dear, because you have done some groundwork on those different subjects before you do a book study. Because, like in a book of James, you will find things by the river, by righteousness, by the walk of righteousness. The book of Romans, by faith, find different things, to find different spirits, and so on and so forth. So, Paul writes the letter to God. The thing when they're writing it, they are writing a letter. And they are writing about things that they are very focused on. So in the letter, just things like, okay, I'm going to pull up the word, I'm going to pull up the word adoption. You know what I'm talking about. For us to get subject adoption, I can't read the phone. And Paul is writing a letter, I think, oh, just in chapter. Idea is the first thing is when you understand the message of the Bible. Bible has one unified message from the beginning to the end. In fact, the end derives its material from the beginning. So because the Bible has one singular message. When you understand that message, whichever book in the Bible you learn, you are able to. That is what the problem is. So even if you read something, even if at a certain time you have had no prior specific teachings, that subject, you are able to answer things pertaining to that subject. Because the revelation of the message is the revelation of one person. The one of God, Jesus Christ, called man. Same string we have been covered from the beginning. There's not been an editing, there's not been a change. In the same message. Now, what you also learn about the Bible is that what you have as written as books, while we say that the Bible is a progressive revelation, I have told you time and time again, it is not a progressive revelation of God, a progressive revelation of man. So man is progressively seeing God. God is not progressively revealing himself. So the Okay, so even you may find a particular particular author, they said it's kind of unfortunate to find like maybe Moses wrote that the things passed on from the past 30 generations, and then they write somewhere that, you know, an earlier prophet may perhaps say that the children have written Psalms, the parents have written Psalms, and the children see that they can teach, and then perhaps the later prophet will come and say that the son of the son of the king. The case is that the soul that things shall die, the prophet shall no longer be known to be that the parents of the son of the son of the king. So, what we are having is not that. In a better line of interpretation, what we are having is not a contradiction of things, but what we are having is that man is progressively entering light. Progressively entering light. So even we have seen that because the Bible we have stated is a literature. Literature is the language of men. God is not Greek, God is not Hebrew, God is not English. Those are the languages of men. God, because of the limitation of man, most of the time he came and spoke to man from where he was. That's why you have Psalm 78 and verse 2, I opened my mouth and I uttered that thing of the things of old. Matthew 13, Jesus spoke unto them in parables. Why? Because things were not telling you about here. So their condition becomes their communication. Okay? So again, what are we seeing? We are not seeing God choosing to hide himself, but we are just saying that there is a particular capacity people have at this time that is going to govern the Lord's strict to them. When it even comes to the Epistles, where we say maybe the whole revelation is now revealed, the light is there, then you find particular books of the Bible, they have a different communication. For instance, the book of Corinth seems to be more figurative than perhaps the book like Ephesians. The book like Ephesians does not seem to address many, many specific acts of the flesh. So then you have to ask, why does Corinth have that kind of communication? Almost every chapter is dealing with that issue. And in fact, we see that even for some of them, it has gone so extreme that it has become their question. So Paul now says, concerning the questions you ask me, it is good. It's not good for a man to touch a woman, you know, concerning where you are. So for that particular time, they still have questions on sexual immorality. It's not hard to find because it's there. But also, Paul also gives us an insight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, where I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as an intellect. So what do we say? Now, so when we come to appraise or understand the Bible, we start to look further into the primary context that you spoke of. That where does context begin from? Context does not begin from the verse before and the verse after, or the book, or the letter, or the author, or the testament, but context will begin from the audience. From the audience. Who was it written to at that time? What was the prevailing consequence of that time? So then we start from there to begin to understand the mind of the author. The mind of the author, we understand it in that language of the author, we can derive many of the thoughts. Not this hour. So Genesis chapter 3. So Genesis chapter 3 opened the can of worms last week. So I just go very slowly or dramatically, which so that we can continue. You have information? So our issue came, we are looking at what happens after sin. Now, we have covered this differently. What happened after sin, we have covered the identity of man. I'm going to call it identity. The effect on man because of sin. That was what we did last time when we said, number one, that effect was not a corporal identity of sin upon everyone that is born.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 7, 4 said, I was alive once without the law. When the commandment came, sin revived and I died.
So there was a time he was alive. There was a time he became a sinner. Then he died. He also gives us a highlight into how babies are born. And he says, the children, being not yet born, neither having done good nor evil. Remember that? We're speaking about Jacob and Esau. So when the children are born, they have neither done good nor evil. So you cannot call them sinners. Because why? Sinning is a verb. An action must have taken place. Then I sin without doing anything.
No. You are grammatically incongruent.
You cannot sin without an action. So Romans 5:12-14, thereabout, that seems to bring up that we analyze it for weeks now. Not so. I said, this is it. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So what passed upon all men? Romans 5:12. Death passed upon all men that had sinned. It's not so death, the King James says, so death passed upon all men for all had sinned. Remember, it must be an action. So, there is a syntax issue there. So death passed upon all men that sinned. Okay? Now we can look at it two ways. Okay? The sin of Adam brings death. The wages of sin is death. We have both a spiritual death and a physical death. A spiritual death is not passed on to everyone, but from what we're saying, that physical death is passed on to every man that is born. Okay? That's why you have people like Enos. What? Born of what? After me, Genesis chapter 5, should be verse 4. A man
in his image and likeness. 5:3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat his son his own likeness after his image, and he called his name Seth, not Enos.
Amen. So, now, that likeness is the likeness of mortality. So now we dealt with what happened after Adam's sin, corporate. Now, what we are going to do with Genesis chapter 3 is dealing with what immediately happened to Adam after he sinned. Why is that important? Because as the verses we are going to read, they seem to imply that God put angels and you're just like this, the flaming sword gathering in. You're guarding the tree of life. Remember that? That's how we said it. So, and we say, let's look at those two verses. So let's look at them again. Chapter 3,
from verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know what? Good and evil. And now let's put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which stands everywhere to keep the way of the tree of life.
And we started by dealing with this grammatically. From Genesis chapter 3, 22, we said they are yada.
Man has become a sort of a sooner, okay? Yada, you have an acquaintance. We saw that word in Genesis 3:7, Genesis 4:1, Genesis 4:9.
Genesis 4:1, Adam knew Eve. Now, then there was a specific word where you have the man is become as one of us. One of us. one of us. And we say the one of is the preposition. Okay? So to better understand what it means, we went to where it was used. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, Genesis 2:19, the Bible says that, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast. So you have out of. Out of is the same as of. Stay with me. Okay? Also, Genesis 2:22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. So, the word from, out of. So, in Genesis 3:22, what you have as of can be from or out of. Okay? Now, then you also have the word one, O-N-E. What did you say that word was? A card. Oh, a card. E-C-H-A-D. And you say one is used for a unity as a means of distinguishing. What do I mean? You say there are different members of immediate church. And then you say, Brother Jackson is one of us. Okay? One of us. That implies there is a unity with us, but there is also a distinguishing from another. So, he is one of us from the rest. So, you have a unity, but also a distinguishing. So, now when you come and put those two words back into Genesis 3:22, first of all, we're saying, why are we even going into the hassle of trying to break up this sentence? Because we have seen that when man sinned, if anything, he was not like God. Because he rejected the image of God. Not so. He did not partake of life. Not so. So God cannot be saying, man is like us. Oh yeah. Also, the devil would be right. And then, you shall not surely die. God knows how to use the food to be wise like you. But they want to be completed. So, it cannot be true. So, when you break up this word, you have a from and unity of distinguishing. We now come to say, the man has become away from us. He's not one of us. Is it clear today? Okay. Amen? Mr. Abelisos, the man is away from God. What is us? Genesis 1:26. Remember, let us make man in our image. That's the plan. So when man does not partake of what brings him to that promise, that intention of God, then he becomes what? Away from him. Amen. So, and now, let him put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Okay? So by implication, he is dead. And also, the tree of life will revive him eternally. Yes? If he eats, he's dead. If he eats of the tree of life, he will live forever. Okay? So, he was dead. Now, so the way that it puts it now in verse 23, then it says, the Lord sent him forth out of the garden to kill the ground from whence he was taken. Again, I've told you, it seems to imply this. Man is dead. The tree of life can revive him. But kingdoms is putting like God is now refusing him to partake of life. Can that be?
Yes. And that goes back to explaining in it. We go back to the figure that Moses used.
One of those figures is Eden. Eden is a figure of speech. Amen? And it was well known to the different people there. So he used Eden as for a perfect place, a place which is complete. Okay? So Eden, in that sense, will speak of the plan of God. Are we together? Are we together?
And you saw where it is in Ezekiel 27, 23, Amos 1, 5, 2 Chronicles 29 and 12. I gave you those verses. Okay?
Now, so we say, the prayer sends him forth. Sends him forth. It's like what? A metonym for the actions of man put on God. And I gave you examples in the book of John. Okay? That says, who he who does not believe, the wrath of God abides on you. John 3:16. Yet John 3:17 tells us, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be. He that believes in him, verse 18, is not. Okay? Some of John 3:19 is also equal as good. So I want to add 19 in the mix.
Eh? Who can read verse 19?
It's not 19.
This is a recap, by the way.
And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world as men love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. Can you see that? Can you see that?
Yes.
So condemnation is not on God. Condemnation is away from God. So when we say send him forth, is just a description of the state that now who? Adam is in. We have spoken about this before. And even said like from Genesis 3:15, God is coming to just mention the state of things. He's not passing judgment per se. But he's saying, because of what you've done, this is what is happening. I'm not the one cutting the ground, but your sin has affected the ground. I'm not the one putting on a woman pain in childbirth. I'm not the one causing you pain to kill the land. But what? Because of what you have done, these effects have come upon me. I'm just merely stating the obvious. Let's ask them, can God set for us punishment and save us from himself? Would God save us from himself? I'm going back to Zanyan Gata or Karabi or Karabi, you know? Is it this one? You know you are? So again, it goes back to the language. So when you find the phrase sent him forth. Now there is another one in Acts, but this one is used for the Holy Spirit, so I'm not going to go into it. Okay? I'm not going to go into it, but it also speaks of an action of man as an action of God. And they also use sent forth. I'll send forth of the Father. That's not what you do. Okay? So, driving out is not an action of God. Then what was the next thing? He said what? Cherish? So, he drove out man. So, we say drove out man is like sent him forth. It is just stating the what? The state of. And placed at the east of the garden of Eden, cherubim and a burning sword, which stands everywhere to keep the way of the tree of life. And they say the word way is the word direct. D-E-R-E-K. It implies to show. Okay? To show. So, the cherubim are not protecting man from access. They are showing the way to life from there on. And I also say, even in that, the figurative speaking in that. Amen. So God is not stopping man from getting light. Why would he send Jesus? If he stopped Adam from coming back to what? To the tree of life. Amen. And so from then onwards, what was meant to be an act of obedience for a man called Adam to partake of eternal life is now going to become a promise, which is going to be uttered in the utterances of the prophet as prophetic words from then on of that life. Amen. So, from then onwards, every man had to choose of the tree of life. Let's track that. Let's start with Abel. Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. So there they are. He says, what happened? He picked up another story. Okay? Genesis 4, 4. And Abel, he also brought forth of the fastening of his clothes and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Genesis 4, 1, 4, 2, Eve has been kept. And then in verse 4, we're introduced to them bringing offerings to God. We have not seen anywhere God asking for an offering. First of all, we just came from the garden, but to our speed, to be a boy, offerings are coming. Amen. I said, where did Cain's wife come from? Tell us. This is not an utterance. That only shows you in order. Then what? Then what? Then what? No. Amen. So someone asked me that this is not. And that can actually bad statistics. And then, this is Jesus' story as told by Moses. It is God's story of redemption. The story is very biased. It is rushing to reach something. Amen. They are not just trying to document the history of the world. Amen. So don't argue with anyone on the edge of the earth or the number of planets that exist. Amen. Tell them, you know what? Pick whatever number you want. Now let's come to redemption. Hallelujah. I guess for sometimes when they ask you funny questions, some people ask you funny questions. Like that, who was Cain's wife? Tell them, pre-Cain. After that, did you know that without believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins, you could have. But no, the Bible says that the children died in Israel in Zobi. But have you accepted it? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, believing in your heart and confession in your mouth. Have you done that? And these two answers are the golden prayer. Okay, I was working with someone, and they made a phone call to someone. They were sick, they were not sick. Then they said, Nayo, you know, Kurokoka. He said, ah, I'm lying in dance, and I'm going to be in the middle of the day. This is very funny. She said, you know, they're lying on the line.
Nzemlena nini siba na koyo kusiba na koyo mwelo.
Nzemlo kwe ya mwende makusiba na koyo. Ayi tu wa spati mwa dati.
Et il fait, dès la dernière fois, la vérité, et, au son, les ménénia, l'ignon, vous voyez, les ménénia, les ménénia.
Ce qu'a dit, c'est pas bon. Donc, qu'est-ce que j'ai dit?
Comme non. Mais il dit, quand il fait ça, c'est pas de l'image, il m'a dit, c'est ça.
Il y a eu un mec, il dit, il y a un mec.
Comment il y a un mec? That kind of thing that makes you disappoint, but that distracts you and take you to questions like, "Am I to remember what? Yes, but how long would this? We got to go. We to go. Wow, what you are doing? Like you want?
Now, yes, what is that? Jesus,
come for again. Amen. You know, when you're doing evangelism, you must learn how to drive the conversation, because people can. You know, distract you and take you here and there.
Yeah. Why did I say that?
Because Abel, in Genesis chapter 4, was first offering that here. So again, we are seeing figurative. God accepted what? Love. Why is that? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Are we there? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speak. Okay? Now this writer now calls Abel is a more excellent. Okay? In Genesis, what did he say? A fatling of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but not unto Cain. Some people say it was the nature of the sacrifice. Let's find out. So, in Hebrews 11:4, he called it a more excellent sacrifice. Okay? Now, that same writer of Hebrews had already told us that animal sacrifices were foreign. And Christ's sacrifice was eternal. Okay? Let's read that. Hebrews 9:9. Which was the figure of the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices. Are we there? I think today we can read the word for I accept. Hebrews 9:9. Which was the gift? Are we there? Are we there? 9:9 up to 12. Which was the figure for the time then present in which were let's read. Were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Which stood only in meats and drinks and the diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, for good things to come by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Verse 12. Neither by the blood of and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So you see in the contrast of Jesus' sacrifice as opposed to that of animals. Again, I ask you, was Abel sacrifice an animal? Let's read on. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. For the law, having a shadow, amongst of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer, thereby that continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Verse 11. Hebrews 10:11. And every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away Wow. Remember again Moses wrote anything.
Remember again the context.
Moses wrote Genesis to the people who came out of what?
Egypt. And?
So Moses writes sacrifices because they understand sacrifices. Because they have seen sacrifices. Because they were in Egypt where people offered sacrifices. So sacrifice was their form of worship. Not one imposed by God. Amen? Because God is coming to a people who are limited to go ahead with their communication. But the writer of Hebrews tells us that he never required sacrifices. Amen. We teach two kinds of righteousness. How many of you are there? We looked at some of those things. So put these things together. Okay? Now, so in that chapter 9, he talked about an excellent sacrifice. The word excellent does not mean good, better, best. Excellent is diaphoros. Diaphoros. D-I-A-P-H-O-R-O-S. It means to differ. Diaphoros. It refers to a different kind. A different kind. Find that word in Hebrews 1:4. Hebrews 8:6. But now have you obtained a more excellent ministry, which means what? A different ministry. By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which is also established again upon better, for he said, okay, Hebrews 1:4, being made so much better than the angels. So he's not talking about because by inheritance has obtained a better name. I'm going to look at the word better too. So these are not comparative words in the sense of degree, like big, bigger, biggest. Those are called comparatives, right? But these are distinctive words. So you find more excellent and better used for the work of Christ. Not because the other one had its part which is good. And this one has its part which is better. No. But that this one speaks of a far more eternal reward. And the other one was temporary. The other one was a system of man. This is a system of God. Are we together? Amen. So you're going to find the word better used for Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. Hebrews 12, 24. Are we there? Should I say aye? Come on, come on, come on. Let's see the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 12, 24. Should I say me? Okay. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. That's the word better there. We're going to do something here. It's the Greek word kreton. K-R-E-I-T-T-O-N. K-R-E-I-T-T-O-N. Kreton. Kreton. K-R-E-I-T-T-O-N. Something that is lasting. Let's look at the usage of this word in the book of Hebrews. We have already looked at Hebrews 1:4. Better name than the angels. Right? Right? Hebrews 7:22. Hebrews 7:22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a what? A better testament. And then Hebrews 8:6, let's read it again. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much is also a mediator of a better covenant.
So, Creighton is used for the work of Jesus in comparison to the other one. In the sense, what comparison? This is eternal. The other one was temporary.
Yes. Yeah. So the Bible says that there's given him a more excellent name. You may have a good name, but there's a more excellent name.
Are you kidding me? And then you connect it with Revelation.
And to him that overcomes, I'll give him a new name.
That is the better name.
So then, that would be right.
Yes, I'm not saying you can do it. Stay tuned.
Amen. So back to Hebrews 12:24.
Well, therefore, remember, don't lose. Actually, okay. Hebrews 12:24. And Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling. Where has blood come from?
Genesis 1. And the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now pay attention.
First of all, that all is what? Is what? Is what? Is what? Is what? Is that it? That's what I'm looking for. Is it?
Was it? Yeah. So we can say it was added by the translator. So what do we have? The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than Abel. Now, that word "than," that word "than" in the Greek can also be translated as from,
F-R-O-M,
from, okay? So how would it read? And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things from Abel.
So now, we do not have, like he said in Genesis, thy brother's blood is calling out. This is not what the writer of Hebrews is writing about. It's not the dead blood of a slain Abel shouting to Cain, or shouting to God,
Avenge.
No. Remember, better applies to what? Eternal.
So, we have the blood of sprinkling. Now, the writer of Hebrews has already explained about the sprinkling of blood by the high priest. It's something he has already spoken about and explained. It comes from the Leviticus.
Okay? On the mercy seat. Okay? So, the blood of sprinkling, that is the blood of Jesus, okay? The lamb of, according to the Leviticus, the institution is that, the priest who dips his hand in the blood, that once in a year when he's doing that service, they call worship. That's what they call worship, okay? When he came in into the holy place, not without blood, he would dip his finger, his hand in blood, and what? Sprinkle on the mercy seat 7 times. And say that the mercy seat is the place where the cherubs dwell.
You have seen the half of the gospel, like overlay, you can have gopher wood and gold, and those things. What are you doing in the tabernacle?
Yeah.
Where are you looking at?
Everything speaks about Jesus. Everything.
Anyway, so you sprinkle the blood and then the Lord will come.
there to speak with the priest. Okay? So that's what they call the act of sprinkling, the blood of sprinkling. It was not for everybody to do, but the high priest did it once. Okay? So now, he's going to contrast between the blood they had to sprinkle every year, and now make Jesus, that lamb, whose blood is the blood of sprinkling, that writer of Leviticus has already said, my confession is that blood, and I've given it for atonement. Okay? So Jesus becomes that blood now, sprinkled. Now, because he's speaking to a Jew, trying to show him what figurative thing he was trying to do, and what the real thing actually is. So now, remember, we are in chapter 12. These things are being spoken about from chapter 1. Sprinkling, sacrifices, offering, they are being talked about. So here we are reaching a crescendo, like you come to the end of it. And now he says, Jesus is that blood of sprinkling. Okay? And what happens to that blood? That blood speaks better things. What are those? Eternal things, lasting things, final things, things done once and for all, things done and they have an eternal ramification, as opposed to the one done every now and then, and also as opposed to an evil, or if you want to look from the time of evil. So what do we have? That blood of sprinkling, that sacrifice of Jesus, spoke from the time of heaven. What does that mean? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, Abel was the very first person who mentioned it. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than him. He came from describing faith. From describing faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay. For by the elders of death, a good report. Okay? By faith, we understand that the worlds were made and the things which are came not from the things which do. Then he started with what? By faith, Abel. He speaks by faith, Abel goes to the next. To the next, to Abraham, and to the end. And this one, this will not be made perfect without us. So, okay, so, verse 4, by faith, Hebrews 11, by faith, Abel offered what? A more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And he being dead, yes, speaketh. What he's speaking is not his blood, it's not his death. It's what? Hebrews 11:1, the substance of the things he hoped for, the evidence of things he had not seen. So he goes forward, looks at all of them, and when he comes to the end, that's why he says, and these all, having obtained a good report of faith, received not the promise. God having provided what? Again, that's what? Better things. For us. That they without us should not be what? Brought to the end. Brought to the completion. Made perfect. Okay, continue. 4:1. Here we have such a compassion. So great a God of witness. Which club? The one you have just read about in heaven. Okay? Then verse 2. Looking at Jesus, what? The author and finisher of our faith. So in verse 24, chapter 12, when he now says that the mediator, Jesus is like the mediator of the new covenant, the blood of sprinkling, that's what? ticket decorations from heaven.
So, that faith, remember now, what was promised at Adam now becomes a promise. What? The way to the tree of life. The way back to life. Life is in the Son. The way now has been documented. The way has been pointed out, mapped out. The way, the truth, the life is now known. Abel, from that promise, from that understanding, he now makes an offer. So, his faith is not his offering. His faith is Christ's offering.
Amen. Amen.
Because that is what is hoped for. That is what is hoped for. Remember, Moses is teaching. So, that sacrifice has had its provision all the way from look at what Jesus said about the Luke chapter 11. My God. My God, my God. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 49. You know there are okay, let's read. Therefore, up to 51. Therefore, also says the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. That the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. But join together, from the blood of, and the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Abel is a prophet. Abel was a prophet. Look at this. The blood of all the prophets shall be upon this generation. That generation was killing prophets. The first prophet killer was killing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. They shall slay them. They shall persecute them. Yes. Under the Old Testament, prophets were known about what? They are utterances about others. Peter wrote us that in 1 Peter 1 page. With salvation, the prophets of what? Fast and inquire, right? They testified of the grace that should come unto you and unto me. So Prophet Abel was busy testifying of the grace. That purpose is communicated by one as operating. Look at what they said about the prophet Peter. 1 John 3:12. Come on, 1 John 3:12. Are we together? Are we together? Running in the eye. 1 John 3:12. Come on. In the fire. This, you know, why just make up?
Most of the teaching starts to
come
down. Most
of the teaching. Or, when the
first come myself down. Or, okay. Or, if I just make up. No, no, no.
Wow, that is cake. Why did he murder a prophet?
It's not
His works were evil,
and his brother was righteous.
Amen. Why was the brother righteous?
Abel is righteous by faith. Cain rejects the message of the prophet. Cain killed the prophet. Because that's what that generation does. Marvel not if they hate you. Because they hate you. Look at John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus describing the children of the devil. John 8, 44. Are we together? Are we learning something?
Mm-hmm.
Are we glad we can?
Yeah.
John 8, 44. Come on. You are your father, the devil, okay? And the lust of your father you will do, He was a murderer from the beginning, and born not in the truth, because there is not. For he is a liar and the father of it all. So, the killing of prophets is in opposition to that. The murderer from the beginning is the devil. Where did he murder for? Murder is dead. The works were evil. Now, he's calling the works were evil. He also calls it, he hated the truth. Which again implies that Abel must have been that. Abel was a prophet. So he killed his brother. That's what you have said, 1 John 3, 11 and 12. This is the message that you had again, what? From the beginning. That what? We should love one another. Not as Cain was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's. So, Cain chose to slay his prophet slayer. He wasn't made like that. He hated the truth. He loved the darkness more than
Amen. So we see what? The way to the tree of life. The direction was always coming back to that. So God is not keeping man out as he's trying to cool down until Jesus comes back. No. The provision is made. Because it is a decision. Every man has to make a decision.
Amen.
Then we also see Noah. Noah. Genesis 6:3. Genesis 6:3, another one, you see Noah. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And some people have said that this is the number of years the person should live. Not this. You know the story of Noah? What was it like? They were there in a flat here. So his days were 120 years. Again, we go to the Ephesians to practice this story. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Say, somebody likes me. Hebrews 11, 7. Are we there? 1, 2, 3, read. Okay. So, the building of an ark is figurative of faith in the promise. It's not a prophet. Okay, so being warned of God, moved with fear, what do you think this warning was? Okay. Let's pick up that story again in 1 Peter chapter 3. That's why they say to understand the Bible, you must read it. Yes. You must read it. The Bible is self-explanatory. It has explanation in it. So, 3:18, are we there? For Christ also, has suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by that, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, which the ark was a few, that is, 8 souls were saved by the like figure, whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting out of the truth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is one of the most difficult texts in the Bible.
So now, people are saying, we are Noah. We have Genesis 6. We have Hebrews 11. We have 1 Peter.
Those things do not contradict themselves. They need to be taken together. Let me give you a simple explanation here. For now, he says, Christ has suffered once for sin. Just as an adjustment for everyone, right? That he might bring us to God. Where? In that suffering. Right? Being put to death in the flesh, made alive by the Spirit. You have that in Romans, you do Romans 1:4. Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Okay? So what? He was what? He was dead, made alive by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the Spirit in prison. Now, then some of us think that when he died, he went to hell and preached the gospel to the ones in hell. Okay? But this is why it's incongruent. Because if you preach on to the ones in hell, verse 20 now starts to describe the particular people in discussion. Those who are sometimes disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, where you and eight souls were saved by God. Okay? So now I want you to take verse 20 with verse 19 and the end of verse 18. Verse 20 with verse 19 and the end of verse 18. This is how. The Spirit of God, which was responsible for resurrecting Christ from the dead, is the same Spirit by which Noah preached the gospel to the men who disobeyed and are now in prison.
The gospel is the message of the Spirit. Peter has already written that the Spirit which was on them did testify. When he signified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. So it is when was the long suffering of God. So a man of God, again, understand this, a man of God is preaching, but his God, they are saying God is doing it. Okay? So, now in Genesis chapter 6, when it says, my spirit shall no longer strive with man, their day shall be on what? 120. That is the long suffering of God by which, by how long Noah preached. We know Noah preached for 120 years and then the flood came. So, God cannot be exhausted in 120 years. Huh? So that long suffering of God, well actually, the long suffering of Noah, but also highlighting the patience of God. So Noah preached for 120 years and then what? Condemned the earth. He was dead.
Amen. Dear mother, Mr. Doka, if you say we go ahead, you just go ahead.
Okay, so he was in 1 Peter, he was referring to the preaching of the gospel. So in Noah, too, just like Abel, you have a reiteration of God's.
A way to the tree of
so Christ is not going to help to preach to people.
That would have been true. Otherwise, the rich man in Luke chapter 16 would say, what about you? What about me? Abraham, I just told you I faith to this right. Forgive me. That's some water and cool my down. Then you guys just go to hell and pick those guys and know what to
say. It's not for you.
What kind of discussion?
No. It is the message of the Spirit, that's why I said, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the side of us. It's not like the person raised Christ from the dead, he's really quick.
I am forward, I oppose you. The gospel which came from remember I just wanted to hope of the right which God promised the Lord was my life is dead. We have the right, the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. Okay? From the foundation of the world, of the Lamb that was slain. Remember that? The Lamb is not slain from the foundation of the world. The book is from the foundation of the world. Whose book is it?
It's from the Lamb that was slain.
Jesus was slain before the foundation. Because they could not get out of the
way.
You are saying the truth. Have you said it earlier?
Oh. Why? Because the record of eternal life precedes the promise. Because the provision of life precedes those to whom it should be.
Every man starts with a clean slate.
That's why what we have is blotting out the name. The book of life has names. When were the names written?
How's the whole thing?
I imagine all those acting as you reach here and I say, what's your name?
We're checking in. Yeah. Maybe the same way.
So you know life is a ridiculous.
This is a spiritual reality. A man is trying to communicate with them somehow. But they make it. Who of you, if you saw those creatures in a picture,
and you told them that you would have run out.
And then I saw him, my girlfriend, his mouth, and then I saw him say, ah, bah, sword, mouth.
And then he had four faces.
One of them. That is the one for showing him.
And then he had the face of an ox for hard working, was it? So,
then he had the face of a man. One head, okay. Anybody ever read those things? Now maybe you need to play that book of Revelation in audio Bible.
Remember, same message.
The one who was truly and to shine. That is the essence of the I am. I will be what I will be. I want what I want. I am what you need right now. I am. I am for your past, I am for your present, and I am for your future. He was in the end, he is in the end, he is at the beginning.
Amen.
Amen. So God is not panicking. He is not in heaven, he said, God is crying when he looks at his creation. Amen. What have I done to you? Our God is consistent.
Amen.
I said our God is consistent.
Amen.
Don't you love such a God who can rely on? You can trust. He's not sleep blocking. He's not moving. If there's anything you can trust the temperament of God. It is always
consistent. What message presented?
The emotion.
Came to this thing. He came to show who he really is.
You know, you can't sit under this thing at this moment or here, and you wake up every day, a certain day, and you question God's heart towards you. Or you question the mood you feel. Or you run away from the day, running away from God. Of that. You are not born in your peace. God is born in you.
I feel what to make right. No! Don't be like Adam. Don't get fixed and start to cover yourself. There is a provision. There is a way. The tree of life.
And now you have come. Now you have come. You have come to what? What they call the throne of grace. You don't come anymore. You have come to the throne of grace. You have obtained mercy. You have found grace.
You have found grace.
I have found grace.
You know, it's a grace that should never be accepted without God.
Especially
in this
time.
That means there should never be a believer who will strive to put that in hand. Unless he doesn't have followers.
Nobody should ever feel shy to rejoice. Because when we are here, we know for a fact. Yeah. We're not trying to convince ourselves. We are aware. Like, we come to this one still somehow, but you know, you're not too much to come and sing with the house of how can I keep it out? This is the consistency of God. This is why we understand the story of God. We're not just trying to add facts. No. We are establishing ourselves in the realities of who God is.
Yes.
So then we can do some and ask you, do you think God loves you?
Ha.
Sometimes I wrestle with that. But no. That we reach a certain moment to keep. devil can never bring any thought in your mind. But so for you to even think or meditate on the word, but God, what is it? Do you know what that does to you now? You start out to expect good. Because now you know God is for you. Remember that was the Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Not just which God said for you, the in. Again, the I am. God with me. Now I know God is with me. You see, now you have come from the supernatural reality. So from realizing that I have a stand, a firm founding with God. I am one with Him.
Yes.
That means I have not created any provision in my mouth to think that any moment I'm separate from God. It affects your worship. It affects your prayers. Now you come to church, you sing songs, and you feel blessed. You relate with them. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You're not singing because you love you so. You're literally singing. When you see I am chosen, not forsaken, you see Hebrews. It says the Lord is for me. The Lord has said, so that I am encouraged. I am informed. The Lord is my song. For whom shall I be? So now you have the congregational relationship. Or your private relationship and approach to God in prayer. Now I know God is with me. God is for me. So when I'm praying, I'm not there. No, I am praying and I know somebody is here. Somebody is here. So now it starts to bleed into my daily life. If I'm there and my back is against the wall, maybe I don't have money, I'm like, Corona is burning, it's hot out.
Then I can wait a minute. God is for me.
God is for me. God is for me.
Now
I start to say, you shall supply all my need according to his
riches.
I start to say, hey God, you love me. I know your wife said, when I sent you out, did you lack what you need? Did you lack what you put on? Now I start to believe those things. I'm not trying to make them make sense in my head. God, no, I know from where, from the I am.
I'm your God. I start to believe in my supply. I trust He will supply. I trust He has the very best for me.
If there is sickness in my body, I'm not thinking about God, what is your will? Wait a minute. You love me too much to wish me to come. I get boldness to start believing God. Healing my body. Do you see how this thing works? And you reach a certain time and you are not trying to, you know, create emergency faith. No, you're so saturated with the word that it has become your disposition. That is how you are. You are ever smiling. Someone may not know you have not been paid for almost a year. They have never seen you complain. They have never seen you take a day off. You are consistent because God is consistent.
Yeah.
I trust God. I am persuaded in the love of God.
Yeah.
I'm persuaded in the goodness of God. I'm persuaded of the character of God.
Yeah.
So I am glad that they said it's from the heart of the Lord. Because I know this way I'm going to find another guy living right here. And then we are going to be in that kind of that environment and we are all wrapping with the same energy.
Amen.
Then I come here, this guy, and he's oozing the same thing, and the other person is oozing the same thing, and the other person is oozing the same thing, and then I'm caught in that environment, and I just come and I find that.
I'm literally almost called that. Everyone else who knows the real situation in my life. Why that?
I go back home quite frankly.
I say, wait a minute. adesso è il mio corpo, è il mio corpo. Ma io voglio poco di andare a what can I do but hope? I am so mad in this reality. I see them become mad. Hope built in nothing else. You can't have your baby. You should like for a little bit. Absent from the body. We pray that the Lord will bring you that you should have. Let me tell you that. You can never outrun the requirements of this world. But there is a place you can be so careful. And you almost feel in you. Because that is absolutely God doesn't want you to die. They try to confess, go down the stand. What are you doing? Not this one comes to you and says, no, my father, you know you are, I love you very much. I have a. But in the say, I don't want to say, father, you have love me. You like, try to literally, try to. Please, you so that you get to know me. Then he said, there's one thing. Unless you don't know who God is, you can never come to the house of God. So you are there, you start explaining the thing. And then that's the sequence, you are making your voice quite loud. Maybe you're going in, you're going to be you are great straight.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The joy of salvation.
Hallelujah.
That's where we stay.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Most joyful people in the whole world.
Hallelujah.
Yes. And people should tell. People can care. People can care.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I know people. They are guys, men. They are guys who like me. I don't know why. Like, they just have the money. They want to do my thing. They like, even if I do what, they like me. I'm like it. That somebody likes me.
Somebody likes me.
Amen. How should we tell you? I look up. There is a death the way you are.
Amen.
That's the way you are. Before the gospel,
Amen.